Turn to Zechariah. So, last time we were in Ezra, and it mentioned the prophets. I'm going to read you what it says in Ezra. You know, it was at the time when they came back, and they were going to build the temple, and then they got threatened and they stopped. And in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, then the prophets Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. So that's where we got Haggai and Zechariah in this whole deal in the middle of Ezra. And these guys were contemporaries with Daniel. Daniel was still in Babylon, as well as a couple others. But anyway, Zechariah was a great guy. If you look at verse 1, it says, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. And so that gives you his lineage. There are approximately, that I know, about 28 different Zecharias in the Word of God. So sometimes, you know, you'll see the name come up as not necessarily this guy, because this guy is pretty late in the Old Testament. And like Haggai, he was a prophet to the remnant or the returnees from Babylon. Unlike Haggai, who was concerned with the building of the temple and the people, Zechariah is more concerned with the messianic visions and prophecy. He was concerned with the building of the temple, but Haggai was you know, really, he went there and rebuked them and said, hey, why'd you stop building? We read that last time. And then it says in Ezra that, you know, they started building again and the prophets helped them. They worked right alongside them. So, Zechariah, verse 2, the Lord hath been displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, in the Septuagint, it says the Lord Almighty, or God Almighty, or the Lord Almighty. You know, the Lord of hosts means that God is master, or he's over. And hosts can represent numerous things. It can represent armies. It can represent a whole mass of people. It can represent the stars of heaven. So when it says the Lord of hosts, it means he's over all of those things. He's over the powers that be. He's over the armies. He's over the peoples. He's over the universe. So I guess that's why in the Septuagint, they have Lord Almighty or God Almighty. So he said, you know, I wasn't happy with your fathers. turn back to me and I'll turn to you. Verse 4, be not as your fathers unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from all your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. And of course, all, you know all the stories about how they would turn from God and then they would have problems. They'd cry to him and he'd get them out of trouble. And then, you know, it went back and forth numerous times. And a lot of the times it had to do with who was king. Of course, Israel had one king worse than the other. They kept getting worse and worse. So they never came back to God, really. Certain people did, for sure, and some people even migrated into Judah at times. But Judah would go back and forth. They'd get a good king and they'd do great, and then they'd get a bad king and they'd not do so well. So, verse 5, your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doing, so hath he dealt with us. In other words, they got what they deserved. That's just the way it was. And that was really the root of their problems. They didn't listen to God, right? They disobeyed the word of God. Man's basic spiritual problem is the integrity of the word, right? And that was their problem. Verse 7. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Sabbat, in the second year of Darius. Again, this is the second year of Darius. In the beginning of Haggai, it was the second year of Darius also. Second year of Darius came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw, okay, now, we're going to look, and he's going to, there's going to be visions. In the Bible I'm looking at, it says 10 visions. Bullinger says 8 visions because he lumps a couple together. But we'll look at it as the 10 visions. So the first vision here is in verse 8. He says, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were red horses, speckled and white. So he has a vision. The man here is later identified as an angel, or the angel of the Lord, which we'll see in a minute. So here's Zechariah, and he gets his vision, and he sees this man, and he's on a horse, a red horse. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees, and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation 70 years? 70 years is 70 years, right? A score is 20. So, remember in Daniel, he talks about the scroll of Jeremiah and how Jeremiah had prophesied that they would be taken captive, and they would be captive for 70 years. So here this angel says, you know, why is your indignation such, and are you going to have mercy on them after all these years? Verse 13, and the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So, you know, he kind of gives Zechariah some comfort. Good words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. And the word jealousy here means he was zealous for them. He had a desire to help them. He really wanted to do something for them. He was zealous, not jealous like we think of, you know, in a bad way, right? And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Remember, you know, the way these guys took over Israel and Judah, the heathen or the Gentile nations. First, it was the Assyrian Empire, right? And the capital of the Assyrian Empire was Nineveh. And that's where Jonah went. And the reason that he got swallowed by the whale is because he didn't want to go there, and he took a boat to go in the opposite direction. Because he knew that if he went and preached to Nineveh and they repented, then they would take Israel captive, which is exactly what happened. So God knew this would happen. And, you know, that's how they captured and took away the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. Then God, you know, told Nebuchadnezzar and aided Nebuchadnezzar in his conquering and taking captive the kingdom of Judah, right? And then, of course, the Medes and the Persians took over Babylon. So these are all the heathen groups, and it says that God is displeased with them. And he says they helped forward the affliction. You know, God was unhappy and he afflicted Israel, or, you know, he allowed them to be afflicted, really, because they turned away from him. God's desire was for them to prosper. If we were to go into Jeremiah, you don't have to, but I'll go there and read it to you. In Jeremiah 36, maybe not. Anyway, God tells Jeremiah to go and prophesy against the king, Jehoiakim, and he says, I only want you to do this because I want them to change and come back to me, but if they don't, bad things are going to happen. See, his desire was for Israel to prosper, to be blessed, but they didn't listen, they didn't come back to him. So that's how they aided in the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. So that's the first vision. And what's he say? He says, you know, you're going to prosper. Jerusalem's going to get better. And it's going to spread. Now, the second vision is a short one. It says, then I lifted up my eyes, verse 18, and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. The four horns refer to the different kingdoms that scattered Israel and Judah. You know, the Syrians, the Babylonians, the Chaldees, the Medes, the Persians, and so on. Okay? Verse 20 starts the third. And it says, and the Lord showed me four carpenters. And the word carpenters is not really carpenters. It could be translated engraver or carver or artisan or smith. Take your choice. That's what the word means. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come, referring to the carpenters or the carvers, to come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it. So these guys are going to come and take care of, pay retribution to the Gentiles for being mean to Judah and Israel. Then we get to chapter 2, and we get another vision, vision 4. I lifted up my eyes again. Now, when he says he lifted up his eyes, that's figurative, right? Because these are visions in his mind. God's giving this to him by revelation. He's showing him a picture. But he said, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So here is a measuring line. A man with a measuring line is an angel, and a measuring line is a reed, could be translated reed, and it was used in preparation for rebuilding the city and the temple. Ezekiel. I'm going to read you something in Ezekiel, but you don't have to turn there unless you want to. Ezekiel 40. And verse 3. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought thither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits, long by the cubit, and a hand and a breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed, and so on. See, it's a measuring thing, and it was used to measure. And here in chapter 2, it's for measuring to get ready for the temple. Then said I, whither thou goest? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Now here it says, go speak to the young man, which refers to Zechariah. And some people say, well, this indicates that Zechariah was a real young guy when he got this revelation. And there's, disagreement about how long this book covers a period of time. Some say it's short, some say it's long. But this is an angel talking to him, so I don't know that necessarily he was young as we would consider, but an angel that's been living for thousands of years is talking to him, and so to him he is young. Methuselah would have been young to this angel. And God talk refers to men as children, right? So I'm not sure that that means that he was young necessarily, but it could have been. And he said unto him, run and speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. See, God's giving him a prophecy and a vision of, the restoration of Jerusalem in the future and how it's going to be a great city again and prosperous and full of people. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath sent, he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that touched you toucheth the apple of his eye. And that's referring to what? His people, right? They're the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil in their servants, to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. You know, and all these great empires, Babylon and the Persian Empire and the Assyrian Empire, they're all gone, right? They all did get spoiled. They all got destroyed. And, you know, there's remnants and you can see what's left of their great cities and their great monuments. But the greatness of those places is not there now, because God said they would be spoiled, and they were spoiled. So, chapter 3 is the next vision. And it says, and he showed me, Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, this is obviously not the Joshua of the book Joshua, right? He's one of the remnant that has come back to rebuild the temple with Zerubbabel. Remember that guy? Mm-hmm. And in the Septuagint, it's not Joshua, it's Jesus, because Joshua is the Hebrew, Jesus is the Greek. So in the Septuagint, in the translation, it says Jesus, the high priest. Anyway, so, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him, or to, screw him up, to cause him problems, to hold him back. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. So what's he saying? You know, the filthy garments reflected, you know, not the greatest life. And God saying, I've forgiven you for all, you're cleansed, and you're getting new clothing. Which, you know, you can take that for what you think. But, you know, in the future, that's what God did for us, didn't he? It says we are endued with power from on high, meaning we're clothed with the Holy Spirit. But here in this vision, it's the picture of this high priest, and God is cleansing him and giving him new garments. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then shalt thou also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Wow, that's pretty interesting. So, you know, talks about forgiveness and a new start, a new beginning. Now, verse 8 starts another vision. And this is really a great one, because it, It's a prophecy of the coming Messiah. It says, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." So, it's pretty great. The branch. Jesus Christ was called the branch. And then it goes on, "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, said the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." There's a pretty good job there. In 1 Peter, chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." So here, Jesus Christ is referred to as the branch, and he is the stone. So again, referring to the coming Messiah. Then it says in verse 10, "In that day, said the Lord of hosts, shall call every man his neighbor unto the vine and under the fig tree." Meaning, you know, it's going to be peace and everybody's going to get along and all that stuff. So, then we get to chapter 4. It says, and this is another vision, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof." I don't know if I can get a mind picture of that, but a candlestick with a bowl on top, with seven lamps on top of that. "And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord?" You know, Zechariah is pretty cool in this because every time he sees something, he asks the question. He says, what does this mean? What is this all about? He asks questions. "Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and he spake unto me, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Mm-hmm. Now, this is all, remember, at the time when they had been threatened and they stopped building the temple, and then they were encouraged to start building the temple. And Zerubbabel was the guy that, or Zerubbabel, however you say it, he was the guy in charge of organizing and getting the thing built. And so God says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For what hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth." So it's a lot of stuff there, but he's assuring them that they're going to finish the temple. And that as long as Zerubbabel listens to God, everything's going to go good. And God's watching over him. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which though through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, not my lord, no, my lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I still don't understand what that means. You know, who are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord? Don't know. But the next vision comes in chapter 5. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. Not a flying bagel, or a muffin, or a biscuit. No, it's a scroll, right? Now, in the Septuagint, it says a sickle. And I'll tell you why in a minute, or why I think. I can't say 100%, but I'll give you what I think. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll or scroll, and the length thereof is 20 cubits, which we would say would be about 30 feet. And the breadth thereof is 10 cubits, which would be 15 feet. It's a pretty big scroll. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side according to it, and everyone on that sweareth shall be cut off, as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and shall remain in the midst of the house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof. Okay, the reason in the Septuagint it says sickle, again, remember, we think of the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. In Revelation, it says that a two-edged sword comes out of the mouth of the Lamb. It's, you know, when he speaks, it's like a weapon. And this is talking about the thief and the people that use God's name in vain, and they're going to suffer for it. So, you know, it's the Word of God that's going to bring about this justice. And so in the Septuagint, it's referred to as a sickle, which is, you know, something you cut down, you know, wheat with. You know, like the Grim Reaper, he has the sickle. Huh?
That's a communist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So, the next vision. Then the angel talked with me and went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. An ephah is a measure. In the NIV, let's see. In the NIV, it says a measuring basket.
ESV calls it a basket.
Yeah, calls it a basket. Yeah. So it would be, it's a measurement, and they would use a basket to measure an ephah. So it's same thing. So an ephah, a measure, a basket, something like that. So, verse 7, behold, there was lifted up a talon of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. There's a woman inside the basket. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me to build it an house in the land of Shinar, which is Babylon, and it shall be established and set thereupon her own base. So, how about that? I wonder if that's where they get storks and carry babies and all that stuff. I don't think so. So that's the visions. And then there's the last vision. And that starts in chapter 6. And it says, and I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses. In the second chariot were black horses. In the third chariot were white horses. In the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Grizzled and bay means, I think, gray and spotted. So, I mean, I tried to look it up, and that's what I found. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth towards the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come now the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Helam, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, to Hen the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build the temple of the Lord. You shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. So that's quite a mouthful. The branch, the Messiah, again, is mentioned about how he will come and sit on the throne. So, again, as you know, a lot of it is still future, right? So now we have chapter 7. So we're done with the visions. And this is an interesting section because it deals with fasts. Everybody knows what a fast is, right? And apparently, Israel, when they have been taken captive, decided to declare fasts on certain months, and they would fast and mourn. And they had been doing this for 70 years. They kept doing it. But at some point, it no longer was from the heart, but it became more like a religious tradition with ceremonies. So that's what's going on here. And that's what Zechariah is going to deal with. So it says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius. Now, this whole thing started off when? In the second year of Darius, right? So 2 years have gone by. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislon, when they had sent unto the house of God Shareza and Regemmelech and their men to pray before the Lord, and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these many years? So apparently now, this part of the prophecy at time, the temple is already built, because these guys come and seek out the priests and the prophets, which, as far as we know, would have been Haggai and Zechariah, because it's plural, right? So, then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? You know, did you remember me, or is it just, you know, you're just looking good, just feeling good about yourself because you're doing all this fasting and mourning and, oh, you know, it's a false humility type thing. And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? Don't you remember what the prophets told you long ago before all this bad stuff happened? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, nor the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. You know, that's what they told him previously. If we were to hold your place here and go to Malachi, not Malachi, Micah. Where is Micah?
Obadiah, Jonah, Micah.
Yeah. Yeah, Micah chapter 6. Verse 1. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and be, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. So this is, you know, previous to the captivity. And Micah is saying, you know, God's got a controversy with his people. They're having a disagreement. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what the Balak, the king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God wanted, not the sacrifices, not the religious ceremonies, not all the other stuff. So back in Zechariah, he's reminding him of this. He said in verse 9 again, chapter 7, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, you know, in relationship to what he said about the fast. You know, they did these fasts for 70 years and they were so religious about it and they made a big deal about it. And he says, the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment, show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow nor the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in the spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Wow. You know, their hearts became as an adamant stone. That means what? And in Septuagint, I think it says flint, like flint. What does it say in the?
Diamond hard.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember back when we read in Exodus, and God told Moses to go see Pharaoh, and he said, but Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. And it's simply when man refuses to listen to God, when he thinks he knows more than God, his heart is hardened. And that's what he's talking about here. They just wouldn't listen to God. They wanted to do it their way. And it may have looked great. You know, at times, you know, religion looks really good, but if it's not in obedience to God and his word, it's all wrong. Verse 13, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I cried and they didn't hear, so they cried and I didn't hear. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Wow, what a deal. Their hearts were hardened. Adamant hard. That's quite a thing. Chapter 8. I think we'll get through chapter 8 and we'll stop. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was zealous for Zion with great jealousy. I was jealous of Zion with a great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. I believe that, you know, would be the Temple Mount, right? And when something is called holy, it means it's separated for purpose, the purpose of God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with a staff in his hand for very age or very old, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this, this people in these days should also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. What a great thing, in truth and righteousness. And that word truth, that word truth there is, it means faithful, or can mean faithful. The NIV says, I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. So it's an interesting word. It can be translated in a number of ways. True, truth, verity, faithfulness, faithful. There's a lot of different ways. But that's what it means here. He's a faithful God. And when we know that God is faithful, we know what? We can rely on him, right? Mm-hmm. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 9, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. That's referring to Haggai and Zechariah. You know, they were the prophets that were there when the foundation was laid. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction, for I set all men, everyone, against the neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Remember in Ezra, when Ezra came and started to, or Haggai even came to rebuke them and reprove them, he said, you tried to do everything and you're working hard, but you're not prosperous. You're planting your stuff, your plants, and they're not growing and bearing fruit. You're not getting the rain you need because you're not putting me first, right? So he says, now you're going to get it all. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. I didn't change my mind. So again, I have thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these things are things that I hate, saith the Lord. So, again, what's he saying? Similar to what he said before. Be truthful, be honest, take care of one another, love one another. Verse 18, and the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus say the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. So he's saying, you've been doing this thing for 70 years and it was, a downer. You were mourning, you were crying. He said, no more. Now it's going to be, you can do it, but there'll be feasts of joy and cheer and you'll have peace. Then saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Now this is, you know, all future still, because this hasn't happened yet. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. We have heard that God is with you. Isn't that great? So, you know, God says, you know, if you do it my way, things are going to be really cool. You're going to be really blessed. And he gives them this great vision of what the future is going to be like. And of course, a lot of it's still in the future, because they never quite got there. But anyway, that's where we're going to stop.